Are our best days behind us or ahead of us?
Yes.
They're ahead of us. That's our story, and we're sticking to it.
Amen.
Amen. What else are we going to say? Amen? Come on, our best days are
ahead.
Our best days are ahead. It's good to be with you. We've been, this has been an incredible year for us. Man, we're probably on track to be in over 50 churches this year, and got about, 10, 12 more churches to get to before Christmas comes. We just got back from Bulgaria, and we were there a week ago and had an incredible time there in a beautiful city called Sofia, and a New Generation Church, men's conference, singles conference. Had a great time there at the church doing some services, and just God moved in an amazing way. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but we were at the right place at the right time with some prophetic things that came forward that really helped that church in a very, very, very difficult time. We walked into a mess there of some things that had taken place over the last year, and that church needed some encouragement, and so it was well worth going that distance. God's churches are worth it. God's churches are worth it. It doesn't matter how long, it doesn't take, matter how far, it doesn't matter how tired, it doesn't, none of that matters. God's churches are worth it.
Amen.
And we were able to walk in, and I believe we left that church a little bigger and better than how we found it, and kind of gave them some momentum. Momentum's a good thing.
Amen.
Amen. I've had momentum. I've had not momentum. I like momentum better.
Amen.
Right? And so we had a great time. And now we're getting ready to head to next month, November. We'll be back in Sydney, Australia. And so we're heading in that direction. And another men's conference. I love ministering to men. And we're going to be doing that in Christ for the Nation in Sydney. Be ministering there. And it's some different churches, multiple churches there in Sydney. So we're just, God's good. Then we'll blink and it'll be Thanksgiving. We'll blink and there'll be Christmas music everywhere.
Yep.
And then we'll blink and it'll be 2019.
Yep.
And it's going to be our greatest year yet.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen. And we're not going to limp into 2019. We're going to go into 2019 running on all 8 cylinders. Come on, December is going to be the best December we've ever had. You know, listen. Don't wait till 2019 to get your faith on 2019. Man, get your faith on 2019 right now.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Because if you don't say it, you're not going to see it. Where's that in the Word? Genesis 1. Come on, God said it. And then He saw it. Over and over in Genesis 1, it says, and God said, and God saw. And God said, and God saw. Whatever you want to see in 2019, you better get to saying it. Better get to saying it. Better not. It's going to be our best year yet. Going to be our best year yet. Going to be our best year yet. We're excited. So, it's been a great year, and it's going to get better. Again, just glad to be here. I believe I've got some things for you. Some prophetic things for this moment. I believe it's going to be a lot of confirmation what God's doing in pastor's heart, some things that God spoke to him about this last week in Dallas. But one more thing before we jump in. Hey, my daughter, got my wife with me. My baby, stand up. Wave everybody. Do them the queens. Do them the queens way. We just celebrated 31 years of marriage this week. Amen. I got married on my birthday. And so I lost my birthday. And
you did.
Because it's not my anniversary. It's her anniversary.
Yeah.
So we had a great time. We had a great time. And then I've got my daughter, McKinley, waving at everybody, and her friend, AJ. And so anyway, it's good. But McKinley's going to be back there at the table. And there's a lot of stuff back there that'll bless you. There's this little flash drive that we have back there. 15 years of traveling and ministry and all the series that we've put out. And of course, I took 10 years to run a Bible college. And during those years, we developed so much word and so much revelation came forth. So what we did is we put it all on a flash drive. I'm sitting there looking. I got pretty good eyes. Let me just read. I'll read these off, and I'm telling you, something will hit your spirit. There's one back there on the Holy Ghost. Precision for leadership, blessed because on finances, Laura's Beyond the Veil, there's doing the works Jesus did. There's kingdom assignments, kingdom authority. There's beyond the veil, Laura's. There's drenched in favor. There's one, oh my goodness, supernatural teenager. That's not for you adults. That's for, if you got a teenager, you got to, man, that'll light them up like a pinball machine. There's just all kind of stuff back there. And every one of those series are on this little flash drive in any computer, Mac, PC. A lot of you have these vehicles now that have the USB ports. And you just pop it in there, and that's where a lot of people, they're driving down the road, they're listening to series and different things. But it's over $500 worth of stuff, but we just sell this for $99. And then when you buy it, you get the book. So what book? Our new book. It came out in December. It's almost a year anniversary. But it's on Amazon now and Barnes & Nobles, but the easiest place to get it is in one of our services. But it's called The Move, From the Shallows into the Deep. You know, all my life I've hated, I don't like puddles. I like rivers. I like oceans. I like the deep. You know, I was one of those teenagers that got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 14. I didn't run from ministry, I ran to ministry. I don't even know if God called me into ministry. I might have called myself. It was the only thing I ever wanted to do. And when I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 14, every year that went by, I became less and less, what's the word I want to look for? My ability to put up with shallow became less and less. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be part of the deeper things of God.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this book's all about. It's got 222, these little moves, these little nuggets that are on the inside. And move number one, I'll just read you the last sentence, and this will tell you whether or not you want to get the book or not. It says, when you live in the shallow, your life is defined by emotions, circumstances, and storms. You know anybody that lives in the shallow? Come on, every time you get around them, what do you experience? Emotions, circumstances, and storms. But in the deep, life is defined by revelation, power, and purpose.
Yeah, that's good.
So the book's back there. Be honored to sign it for you if you want me to. And it's back there, and you can use your credit card. You can pay for it however you want to. You can sign up for the Daily Move. If you want to partner with us, you can grab that packet. Turn in your Bible to Exodus 4. Turn over to Exodus 4. Enough of that. Exodus, the fourth chapter. This message I want to preach, I haven't preached this in a long time. I can't even remember the last time I preached this message, even though it's one of my favorites. Because it's one of the early revelations that God gave me when we launched out and we started traveling and churches in 15 years now, and just going. So it's been a long time since I've preached this, even though it stays real close to my heart. But we'll get to Exodus 4 here in just a moment. Greatest TV show in the history of the world. Y'all know what it is, right? I mean, I see a lot of gray hair in here, so I'm thinking we're all going to agree on this. The Andy Griffith Show. Come on, anybody remember the Andy Griffith Show? Come on, y'all love me already, don't you? I mean, anybody that thinks the Andy Griffith Show is the greatest show in the history of the known world, come on, y'all know y'all love me. All right, y'all remember Andy? Come on, you remember Barney? You remember Opie? You remember Ernest T. Bass? It's Ernest T. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Great TV show. But you know, one of the best characters was Otis. Y'all remember Otis? You know, Otis was the town drunk. And Pastor Scott, you know, on a Friday night, you know, Andy would be in the sheriff's office and Otis would come in. He'd be absolutely, you know, slobber-knockered drunk. And he would come walking in. And Andy wouldn't even get up. And he would walk over. Otis would grab the keys to the cell. And he would open it up, let himself in, and lock it. And then hang the keys back up, right? And he'd sleep off his drunk. And you know, the next day he would go home. And he was just kind of a consistent character on the show. And if you remember, you know, Aunt B had fixed up that cell real nice. Y'all remember? She had a little nice picture on the wall, had a little bed, had a little nightstand, had a little lamp, you know, had some doilies in there, you know, because, you know, when grandmas love some doilies. And so doilies in purple, that's how you know there's a grandma near, there's doilies in purple. And so Aunt B had it fixed up real nice. And you know, and the bottom line is, Otis, you know, he was pretty comfortable in his captivity. That's where a lot of believers are. We get It's amazing how comfortable we can be in our captivity. We got things going on in our life. We're bound by things. There's yoke. There's burdens. There's curses. There's just stuff that we're dealing with. But it's okay. We're comfortable. We got a nice bed. We got a nice TV. Come on. We got our... It's amazing our ability to be comfortable in captivity like Otis was in that jail cell.
Yeah, that's good.
And if we don't want to call it captivity, let's call it our comfort zone. Amazing how comfortable we can be in our comfort zone. And you know what happens is you blink and you realize you've been there for months. You've been there for years. You blink and you've been there for decades. And you know that's not where God wants us, is in captivity. And it's not where God wants us in our comfort zone. And let me use another word. It's a word that I hate. It's this word called plateau. I hate me some plateaus. I hate a plateau. I don't like the feeling of being on a plateau. I don't care if it's health. I don't care if it's finances, ministry. God hadn't called us to live on a plateau. No more than he's called us to live in a comfort zone. No longer than he's called us to live in captivity. Does anybody in here feel like, and I'm going to lift my hand because I'm preaching this for me this morning as much as you. You kind of feel like in some area of your life right now, you're kind of on a plateau. You kind of maxed out.
Yeah.
You're kind of looking around and you don't see a way up.
Yeah.
Do you like that feeling? Do you believe that's where God wants you? You know, when you're in over 50 churches a year and you've been doing it for 15 years, there's churches that I've been preaching in now for the whole 15 years, and every year I go back, they're at the same place they were the year before. It doesn't mean they're not building the kingdom, doesn't mean people aren't getting saved and filled the Holy Ghost and healed, but as church corporately, they have been on that plateau for years.
Yeah.
Do y'all feel like that's God's will for believers?
No.
This time next year, do we want to be at the same place?
No.
Not just physically, but spiritually. People, age groups, color. Come on, rich, poor. We don't want to be on a plateau, do we?
No.
No, we want to continue to grow. Because anything that's alive is growing. I don't want to be Otis. Turn to somebody and say, I don't want to be Otis. I don't want to be Otis. You know, when I was growing up, there was this movie I liked. And it had Tony Curtis in it. Do y'all remember that movie that he did on Harry Houdini? Y'all remember Harry Houdini? You may know who Harry Houdini is. Y'all should know who Tony Curtis is.
Yeah.
I know we're going old school here. McKinley, AJ, I don't know what I have a clue what I'm talking about. But there was this movie called Harry Houdini. And he was a magician, and one of the things he did, this isn't in the movie, but it's something I read about him. He had this thing that he did. He would go into jail cells. He'd go into prisons, and he had a bet that there was no jail cell could hold him. And so they would put him in the jail cell, they'd run a curtain over, and the next thing you know, he'd come walking out. And it was just a big thing for him, you know. It was publicity, it was money, it was people would show up, and there was no jail cell that could hold him. We said, well, you know, what would he do? Well, Harry Houdini was a master locksmith. That's what he did before he got into being a magician. And so he had developed a little key that could unlock any lock, and he would swallow it. And then when he got in the cell, he would regurgitate it back up, pick the lock, and he would come walking out. And it was just a trick, you know. Well, one day, true story, he got invited to this new prison to see if he could get out. And so he walked in and they pulled the curtain, and minutes went by, no Harry Houdini. Minutes went by, no Harry Houdini. And finally, you know, they the time limit was up. They pulled the curtain back and there Harry Houdini sits, and he couldn't get out of this cell. As much as he tried to pick that lock and unlock it, he couldn't get out of the cell. And so the warden started laughing, and he walked over to the jail cell, and he just pulled it open. The reason he couldn't unlock it is because it was already unlocked. Come on, they had fooled the magician. And you know what? Harry Houdini found out something that day. He found out that, the warden, what his problem that day was. It? Was the warden his problem? No. Was the prison his problem that day?
No.
Was the jail cell his problem that day? Now, where was the problem? It was right between his ears. Because if you think something's locked, even though it's unlocked, guess what? It's locked. Because perception matters. If you think it's unlocked, if you think it's locked, it's locked. If you believe it's unlocked, come on. When God's made it unlocked, what is it? It's unlocked. He found out that day that he was limited not by the prison, not by the warden, not by the cell. He was limited in between his ears. That's where he was bound. That's where he was limited. That's where the problem lies. Now, the reason I have you in Exodus 4, is because we see something here with Moses. You know, in Exodus 3, God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, right? Y'all seen, come on, we'll go old school again. Y'all seen Great Commandments. Come on, you got Charleston Heston, you know, he had the burning bush. All right, y'all know the scene. Y'all know the scene. I think sometimes we know Exodus 3 more by the movie than we do the word.
Yeah.
So, in Exodus 3, he appears to Moses through a burning bush, and God does something that, you know, he doesn't really do that often. He doesn't do it in this dispensation that we're in, because we're led by the Holy Ghost. But in Exodus 3, he tells Moses everything. He tells him what he wants him to do, what's going to happen when he gets to Egypt. Listen, I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to say, let my people go out into the wilderness. Let them make sacrifices for a little while. Then they'll come back. And then when you do that, Pharaoh's going to tell you no. Come on, you know what I'm saying? He's giving him all the pieces to the puzzle. The Pharaoh's going to tell you no. And then after he tells you no, I'm going to unleash all these miracles on Egypt. And then when I'm done, he's going to let you go. And on your way out, you're going to just rout the entire country and you're going to go out blessed. I mean, he told him everything from A to Z.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
But then something bad happens. Look at Exodus 4. And Moses answered and said, but. Can we talk about our butt for a minute? We're going to talk about our butt for a minute. Because here's the deal. In this world that we live in, we think the world's our problem, just like Harry Houdini. Come on, we think the warden, we think Satan, we think the cell, our circumstances, we think all that's the problem. If we could just change the world, if we could just change the devil, if we could just change the circumstances, when really the biggest problem we have is our big butt. Because anytime God tells us to do something, anytime, come on, he says something to us, what's one of the first words that comes out of our mouth?
But
God. Well, God's got a problem when it comes to Moses. And it's not, do you think God was worried about Pharaoh? You think God's worried about Egypt? Do you think God's worried about Pharaoh's army and all those chariots? God's not worried about any of that. God's not got a problem. And it's not Egypt. It's Moses' big butt. And he's going to have to get rid of it before Moses can come down off that mountain and go do what God's called him to do. And it's the same way with us. This church has a butt. And you have a butt. And if we don't get rid of it, we're going to stay on a plateau for the rest of our life. We're going to stay comfortable in our captivity for the rest of our life. We're going to stay comfortable in our comfort zone for the rest of our life. We've got to get rid of that but God. Can I get an amen? You know I'm preaching good.
Yeah, yes.
Moses has got another problem. Notice what he says here. But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say. Everybody's got a they, instead, including Moses. Why do we care so much about they? Everybody's got a they. Anybody ever said anything, something about you didn't like? Come on, anybody ever told you you weren't going to make it, you weren't good enough? Come on, you weren't talented enough? Come on, you're not smart enough? You come from the wrong family, wrong town, wrong color? Come on, this age, that age. They always has an opinion. And you'll never do everything God's called you to do unless you get rid of that but of yours and you stop caring of what they say. There's always a they. I can't imagine all the stuff that's been said about this church in this town. But you know what? It's the same stuff that's said about every church in every town. There's always a they. But he just didn't have a problem with they. Look at this. I want you to look at this close. This is powerful. He says, "For they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say." He had more respect for what they say than what he said. He put more stock into what they had to say instead of what he has to say. He said, "They won't believe me, for they will say." You know, your life is in somebody's mouth. It better be yours. I mean, do you really want your life to be coming out of somebody else's mouth? I don't want my life defined by your words. I want my life defined by my words that are based upon thee. I mean, imagine the kid that grows up and he's been told all of his childhood that he's worthless, that he's worthless, that he's worthless, that he's worthless. And he grows up and he feels what? Worthless. And because he feels that way, he acts, he talks, he walks. What's going on there? He allowed his life to be defined by somebody else's words instead of his own words. It's one of the saddest things you'll ever see in this earth. God forbid we allow that to happen to us. Yeah. Come on, this church's future isn't in somebody else's mouth, it's in our mouth. Amen. My life, I don't want my life defined by somebody else's words, I want my life defined by my words, based on the word. Moses has got a problem, and it ain't Pharaoh. It's his butt. It's they. He's got more respect for their voice than he has his own voice. And because he's bound in his mind, he ain't bound by nothing else. Because he's bound in his mind, God's got a problem. And it ain't Pharaoh, it's Moses. Because until he can get Moses free, there's no use in him coming down off the mountain. That's where a lot of people are. And that's where churches are. They're bound. But it's between this earlobe and this earlobe. So what is God going to do? He's got to get Moses free. He's got to get Moses free. So this is brilliant. It's phenomenal. But you got to understand how prophetic this is about what we're fixing to read. You know, Moses said in Deuteronomy 8:15, he said, "God will raise up a prophet like unto me." Who was he talking about there? He was talking about the coming Jesus. And if you really want to have a good time this afternoon or tonight, look up the similarities between Moses and Jesus. There's 75 of them. They're phenomenal. Both of them had supernatural births. Both of them, you know, attempted murder on both of them as they were a child. Both of them were raised in Egypt. I mean, the similarities just go on and on and on. Come on, Moses brought us the law. Jesus brought us grace. They're both shepherds. I mean, they just go on and on and on. Both of them had a Gentile bride. Come on, that goes on and on and on. I mean, it's phenomenal. And so, I want to show you something here. Jesus, God speaks to him and says, "And the Lord said unto him, what is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." And he cast it on the ground, it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth your hand, take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand, caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Incredible moment there in his life. There was nothing more feared at that time than a snake. I mean, if you were a shepherd, you spent all your time out in the wilderness, the number one thing you were going to be afraid of was a snake. Well, in just a moment of time, God removes his fear of a snake. Amen? He'd never be afraid of a snake again. One moment it's a snake, one moment it's a rod. He's not afraid of a snake anymore. He has authority over a snake. And then here comes Jesus. Jesus didn't have authority over a snake. He had authority over the snake. So what's that got to do with us? Are we in Christ? Is Christ in us? Aren't we seated in Christ in heavenly places?
Amen.
Come on. If Jesus has power and authority over the snake, who's the snake?
Satan.
Then that means we have power and authority over. So why are we afraid? Why are we afraid? Why are we running from the devil? He ought to be running from us. Why are we having emergency meetings to talk about what the devil's doing? Shouldn't he be having emergency meetings to talk about what we're doing? Come on. Come on. If he walks in, do our knees begin to shake? Or does his knees begin to shake? If he walks in here, who's more uncomfortable, him or us? It should be him. Come on, we've been seated in Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers.
Amen.
Never forget, man, one of my heroes was Lester Sumrall. Remember Lester Sumrall talking about this? He was talking to this pastor, and this pastor talked about how this Satan had came into his room, and he began to plead the blood of Jesus and just plead the blood and plead the name of Jesus. And finally, Satan left, and Sumrall let him get through. And he said, hey, listen, the next time Satan shows up, give him a message for me. He goes, what's that? He said, tell him to come see me. And if you knew anything about Lester Sumrall, he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Of course, one of the greatest stories was Smith Wigglesworth. What wakes up in the middle of the night, Satan is sitting over in a rocking chair beside his bed. He turns on the light, looks over at it, and then rolls back over, turns it out, says, oh, it's only you. Man, I like that. Come on, we're not supposed to be afraid of the devil. The devil's afraid of
us.
He's afraid of us. I never forget, years ago I was preaching in LaGrange, Texas, Pastor Dennis Hill. This happened years ago. Pastor Dennis lives way out in the woods. You know, he lives out there a little bit. You know, you have to head towards town to hunt. You know what I'm talking about? He's out there. And so it was early on a Sunday morning, and I got up, and I'm walking. It was down this dirt road, and I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost, getting ready to preach. And all of a sudden, there's this house. It's about 100 yards off, and maybe a little less. And I see this big dog come out around the house. Big dog comes out around the house. He's just literally looking at me. I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. And so, and then in just a moment, another big dog came around the house. And they just sat beside it. I'll never forget it. They were just sitting beside each other. And, you know, by the Spirit, I heard them talking to each other. And it went something like this. You see that white boy? Yeah, I see that white boy. He looks real slow. He does look slow. Definitely slower than us. Yeah, yeah. And then I heard him say, I think we should go eat him. And the next thing I know, these two big dogs are just coming at me like freight trains. And I mean, they're slobbering and they're barking. And I got a decision to make. I have a decision to make. I looked around, you know, there was really nowhere to run. There was really no tree to climb. I mean, they're coming. I've got to make a decision. And they're coming. And so the only thing I knew to do is I'm about here. The dogs are about at the wall back there. And when they got to it, this is what I did. I just went, ah! I just started running right at them, screaming. And when I did, they parted like the Red Sea. Now, when that happened, they blinked. I knew I had them. And at that point, I just started patronizing them. You know, one of the best ways to make somebody mad is to do what? Don't you hate to be patronized? I started patronizing. Just go, come here. And they're like, oh, you're so cute. Come here, let me pet you, pet you, pet you. And I'm just patronizing them, talking down to them, talking to them like they're little puppies. And they're like, you know, they're acting, and I'm laughing at them because they blinked. They blinked. And so I walked on down the road. But, you know, what goes up must come down. You know, what goes out must come in. And so I came back in, and there they were, and we had to do it all over again. But it was a lot easier to do it than it was the. That's the way we ought to be with the devil. Come on.
That's right.
This is a prophetic moment. It wasn't just for Moses, it was for us. Come on, he gave power and authority to Moses over a snake. He gave power and authority over us, over the snake.
Yes.
Let me ask you this question. I'm being real and raw with you. I want you to be real and raw with me. I know sometimes there's things that go on in our life that are because of our own mistakes. You know, you make bad decisions and you got to deal with bad circumstances. Let me know what I'm talking about. It had nothing to do with the devil. Come on. You screwed up. And now you got, you know, you bought a car with 20% interest. That was not an attack of the devil. That was, you know what I'm talking about? Okay. And then sometimes there's things that happen. It's just life. You know what's going on out there on the East Coast? It's life. Storms come. Wildfires burn. Mud slides. You know, sometimes things are just, it's just life. It's the earth prevailing for the coming of God. But let me know, sometimes it's just an attack of the devil. Can I be honest with you? Because I'm going to lift my hand on this. Is there anybody in here and you feel like over these last few months that it wasn't a mistake? It wasn't life. You feel like you have been under an attack of the enemy. It might have been you physically. It might have been financially. It might have been your family, your son, your daughter. Come on, your marriage. You feel like it's been a demonic assignment against you. Does anybody feel that way? If you do, I want you to just stand up right where you are. We're not waiting till the end of this. I want to deal with this right now. Stand up. Me and Laura and I, we've been dealing with some things over the summer. Just in a demonic attack.
Amen.
Satan hates you. Trying to keep you back from being who God's called you to be, doing what God's called you to do. Come on. He's wanting to keep you distracted by all the circumstances and storms and junk so you can't focus on the assignment God has for you during this season of your life, right?
Yes.
Right. Enough's enough.
Amen.
Come on, sometimes you look at the milk, man, and you go get some milk and you smell it and you're like, ooh, and you look and the expiration date. Come on, you are past that. This attack is past the expiration date.
That's right.
And you know what we're fixing to do? We're fixing to throw out the bad milk. Come on, this is the expiration date on that attack.
Hallelujah.
Y'all sense that in your spirit? Come on, we're fixing to run. We're fixing to make the devil blink. Come on, we're fixing to run at the devil instead of him running at us. And then we're going to patronize him. Because enough, come on, somebody prophesy. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Just close your eyes and lift your hands. I want you to come into faith with me.
Yes.
Come on, this is one of those Kairos moments. It's one of those moments that everything changes. If I didn't come from any other reason, it's come on, for this moment. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that we have the keys to the kingdom. And whatever we bind, heaven binds. And whatever we loose, heaven looses. And Father,
yes,
Jesus gave us power and authority over the devil. Father, we are seated in Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and power. Father, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Father, we're not afraid of the devil. The devil's afraid of us. And so, Father, right now, in the authority of the name of Jesus, Satan, we rebuke you. We bind you. And we command you to go. Demonic power, principalities and power, darkness, you spirit of infirmity, spirit of fear, spirit of worry, we rebuke you, we bind you, and we command you to go now in the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now just lift your hands and just begin to thank him for it. Begin to praise him for it. Come on, let's begin to praise him. Praise is the expression of your faith. Father, we just thank you that the attack is over. The weapon is destroyed. Satan is defeated and he's been run off. Father, we thank you that attack is over. Father, the expiration date
was now. It's over. We've thrown it out of the house. Father, we thank you. We're free. We're free. We're free. We're free. Father, a new season begins now. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Our best days are ahead. The end of the year is going to be better than the beginning of the year. Father, we thank you. We're going to end out the year strong. Father, we thank you. The weapons and devices of the enemy have been crushed to powder.
Yes. Yes.
Father, we're not afraid of the devil. The devil's afraid of us.
Hallelujah.
And he's not going to take the attack to us. We're going to take the attack to him.
Yes.
Ooh, poor Pastor Osteen. T.L. Osborne used to say, poor devil. Poor devil. Come on, just let that come out of you. Come on, poor devil. Poor, he would step out of a plane in another country, and he would step foot in India, Africa, China. No matter where he was, he put his foot down on the ground. He'd say, poor devil. Poor devil. Come on, let that get in your spirit. Poor devil. Oh, poor devil. Come on, let Summerall's words come out of your mouth. Next time, tell him to come see me. Next time, come on. Next time, tell him to come see me. Come on, let Wigglesworth's words come out of your mouth. Oh, it's only you. Oh, it's only you. Now turn over and turn the light back off. Go to sleep. Oh, it's only you. Oh, it's only you. Oh, it's only you. Oh, tell him to come see me. Poor. Poor devil. Poor devil. Poor devil. Poor little devil. Poor little defeated devil. Ooh, Jesus saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Ooh, he's defeated. Father, we thank you we're free. Jesus' mighty name. Come on, hallelujah. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. There's more, there's more. How many of you, that was a moment you needed? Ooh. Now, verse 6. Then the Lord said furthermore unto him, he said, put your hand in your bosom. He puts his hand in his bosom, and when he takes it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. Behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Listen, there was no disease back during that day that was more terrifying than the thought of getting leprosy. There's nothing worse. There was nothing in life that could happen to you that would be worse than getting leprosy. Because if you got leprosy, it was a slow, torture, death sentence. And not only was it a death sentence, but you're going to be cast out. You're done. You're done. You can't be around your family anymore. You can't be around people anymore. Anytime someone gets close to you, you got to yell out, unclean, unclean, unclean. The lepers had to live amongst themselves. There was nothing. There was nothing you would fear more in the wilderness than a snake, and there was no disease you would fear more than leprosy. We don't have leprosy today. I mean, there's a few places around the world, but in America and around the world, there is no disease that strikes fear into people more than cancer. When you read leprosy, I want you to see cancer. Cancer strikes fear into the world, into America, come on, into churches, into people. Let anything happen to me. I don't want cancer. One moment, he's got one moment. One moment, he pulls out leprosy. The next moment, he pulls it back in. It's gone. And one moment, it's there. And one moment, it's not there. He took his fear away. He'd never be afraid of leprosy again. He gave Moses power and authority over that disease. Here comes Jesus. Jesus didn't have power and authority over that disease. He had power and authority over all sickness, all disease, every disease. One of the first miracles Jesus performed was he healed a leper. So what's that got to do with us? Are we in Christ?
Amen.
Is Christ in us?
Amen.
If he has power and authority over sickness and disease, then we have power and authority over sickness and disease. So why are we afraid? Why are we running from disease? Why are we running from cancer? Why are we running? Why are we running? Why are we afraid? And is there a possibility that what we fear the most is what's coming upon us? Because when we get over into the realm of fear, it opens up a door. Moses wasn't afraid of leprosy anymore. Jesus, everywhere he went, he wasn't afraid of sickness and disease. We shouldn't be afraid of sickness and disease.
Amen.
We should be a church that says, come here, we'll take care of it. Come on, we'll take care of it. I don't care what's going on in your body. Come here, we'll take care of it. Come on. I know Pastor asked you a moment ago, but how many of you believe you're healed, but at the same time, that manifestation hasn't fully come yet? You're still hurting in your back, you're still hurting in your neck, you're still hurting in your ankle, you're still hurting somewhere in your body, you're still sore, you're still stiff. Come on, you haven't seen the manifestation yet. Anyone? Stand up. You're healed. I believe you're healed. You just haven't seen the manifestation yet. Come on, this is one of those Kairos moments. Just be still. I believe your manifestation is on the other side of fear. You got to be honest with me. When it comes to sickness and disease, when it comes to pain, soreness, stiffness, there's always an element of fear that's attached. Why? Because the devil, that's his currency, his fear. He'll tell you, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Y'all have heard those words? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. You're going to have to live this way for the rest of your life. You're going to have to live this way. You're going to have to live this way. You're going to have surgery. You know, you're eventually going to have surgery. You know, you're going to have to be on medication for the rest of your life. What's all behind that? It's fear. It's fear.
That's right.
You know what? Your children are going to have to deal with it too. Your children. You know, you're going to pass it down to your children. You're going to pass it down to the next generation. And then Satan mixes religion all into it. Well, it's okay. Listen, you're tough enough to handle it. You know, you're tough enough. And you know what? You need to be thankful, because it could be worse. You need to be thankful because, you know, there's other people that are dealing with things that are far more than you are. And so even though it's going to get worse, don't worry about it, because you ought to be thankful that it's not already worse and that it's not something else. Are y'all hearing all this garbage? Do y'all know this voice? Is this voice familiar? It's demonic. It's from the pit of hell.
Amen.
And we've grown comfortable in hearing that voice. We're Otis. We're comfortable in our captivity. We're Houdini. We're in a jail cell that's between our ears, and the door's not locked. All we've got to do is walk up to it and kick it open and walk. Come on, close your eyes and lift your hands. Be still, don't move a muscle. Satan, you lying devil. You're defeated. You're defeated. You're defeated. You're gone. Your devices are broken. Your weapons are broken. Father, we thank you right now for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Father, we thank you for the anointing that's been broken off our minds this morning. Father, we thank you that anointing has broken off all this stuff that's been keeping us from reaching out and receiving what Jesus Christ already did for us 2,000 years ago. Father, we thank you right now for that anointing. We thank you for that anointing. Father, I know the devil has been run off, but right now, pain, we rebuke you. Soreness and stiffness and sickness and disease, we rebuke you. Leprosy, we rebuke you. You're defeated. Cancer, we rebuke you. You're defeated. Father, we thank you right now that we are healed. We're whole. Backs are healed and whole. Necks are healed and whole. Feet are healed and whole. Father, we thank you right now. Light is flooding our bodies. Flexibility is flooding our bodies. Strength is flooding our bodies. Father, I thank you right now. We're healed and we're whole. We're healed. And Father, I thank you that angels are moving in right now into position. Father, just as those angels stirred the waters in John the 5th chapter, I thank you the angels are stirring the waters right now in this room. Father, I thank you. Angels are ministering, spirits sent to minister for the heirs of salvation. Father, we thank you that healing has taken place.
Thank you.
I feel like we're supposed to give a moment for these angels to work. What I want you to do, I want you to just listen to me carefully. I want you to sit down right now. Sit down. Don't move. Just sit down. Keep your eyes closed. Angels are working. The Holy Ghost is working. Manifestation is happening in your body. Come on, these are three Kairos moments in Exodus 4. Come on, I'll take 3 seconds right now. 1, 2, 3. Done. In just a moment, I want you to stand back up and I want you to check your body. I want you to move every inch of your body. And I want you to look for the difference. Pain's going to be gone. Soreness is going to be gone. Stiffness is going to be gone. What you couldn't do, now you can. You're going to stand up and begin to move. And you're going to be amazed at the difference in your body. Y'all ready? One moment the leprosy was there. One moment the leprosy was gone. One moment it was there in your body. And now it's gone. Stand up and see. Move. Move around. Whatever you got to move, move it. Check your back, your shoulder. Just keep moving around. Check your body. Shake those knees. Move your hand, your feet a little bit. Your hands. Move your neck. Move your back. Father, come on, somebody give Jesus some praise. Thank you, Father. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. How many of you, there's a difference in your body? There's a difference in your body. Keep your hand up. There's a difference in your body. Look up there at me. What's different?
My knee is
your knee.
Sore.
Your knee. Your back. What's different? Your back and your knee. What's different? Your neck. You can move it more. Hallelujah. What's different, sweetie? Your wrist. Hallelujah. Who else? There's a difference. I don't want to miss anybody. Keep moving and keep praising God. Because we had things happen at the beginning of the service. Now we got stuff happening now. And by the end of the service, come on, you keep moving and praising. Everybody say moving.
Yes.
And praising God. So while I'm preaching, what are you going to be doing?
Moving
and praising God. All right, be seated. One more and we're done. One more. Y'all going to like this one. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, now watch this, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. He said, Moses, I'm going to give you power and authority to turn water into blood. You're going to turn water into blood. Now you've got to understand what God's doing here. First of all, he gives him power and authority over a snake. Second of all, he gives him power and authority over the worst disease imaginable, which at that time was leprosy. But now what he's going to do is he's going to give him power and authority over the prosperity of Egypt. Because if you shut down a river, you shut down the nation. I've studied rivers. I've got a series back there called The Rivers of God. Rivers are amazing. Rivers is what has built civilizations. All the cities are built where? They're built on rivers. Why? Because that's where the most fertile farmland is. That's where all the fish are. Whether you're talking about the Nile River. Come on, the Mississippi River. The Yellow River in China. Come on, the Jordan River in Israel. Oh, the Amazon in South America. Rivers are what brings life to a world. And so if you turn the rivers into blood, what have you just done? You've shut down that nation. You've taken away the prosperity of a nation because the farmland was cursed. Now the fish are cursed. You can't move. It destroys everything. He gave Moses power and authority over the prosperity of Egypt, and he gave him power to turn water into blood. And here comes Jesus. And Jesus didn't turn water into blood, did he? What did Jesus do? First miracle. He turned water into wine. Right there is all you need to know about the Old Testament and the New Testament. Old Testament is defined by blood. New Testament is defined by wine. Come on, the Old Testament is all about the law. New Testament is all about grace. Come on, it's not... It's wine time. Why are we afraid of lack? Why are we afraid of the devil? We've been given power and authority. Why are we afraid of sickness and disease? We've been given power and authority. Why are we afraid over poverty and lack and less and decrease? Why are we afraid? For the same reason we're afraid of the devil, and the same reason we're afraid of sickness and disease. And those three things come from the pit of hell, and they're meant to destroy us. Jesus came along and he turned water into wine, and he brought grace. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. Amen. What is grace? Well, you can't really appreciate grace until you know what mercy is. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Anybody ever gotten stopped by a policeman? You deserved a ticket, but he gave you a warning. Come on, how many has that ever happened to? Did you appreciate it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you drive away and go, thank you, Jesus, 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 thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Because the last thing you want to do is write that $300-$500 check, right? And come on, and you're in church. Go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was mercy. Because you deserved a ticket. But he didn't give you a ticket. That was mercy. Well, grace isn't not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Did y'all deserve to be saved?
No.
That's why it's called grace. Did y'all deserve to be healed a minute ago? No. That's why it's called grace. Do you deserve to be blessed to be a blessing? No. That's why it's called grace. And it's not just grace. It's amazing grace. Come on, grace and banana pudding are a lot alike. You just can't get enough of it. God's given us power and authority over the devil. He's given us power and authority over sickness and disease. And we're not living under the law anymore. We're living under grace. Well, then why am I not seeing the full manifestation of that? We're Houdini in a cell. We're Otis. We're comfortable in our captivity. And what suffers from us being bound isn't just our own lives, but it's the kingdom. Because there's missionaries that aren't being supported. There's churches that aren't being supported. There's orphanages that are not being built. There's Bible schools all over the world that are not being built. There's people that are not being fed. There's Bibles that are not being purchased. Come on, there are young people that are not going to Bible school because they can't afford it. There are churches that everything that church does, they do it from desperation. They do it out of urgency. They're having to reach to do it. They're having to believe God for miracles just to take care of the basics of the church. And it shouldn't be that way. We should do everything as believers from a place of strength, not from a place of weakness. We should do everything in the church from a place where we've got tenfold the resources to do it, not no resources to do it. We should do everything from a place of strength, not weakness. We serve El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. You should have more than enough to have all your needs met and have enough left over to meet the needs of the kingdom. This church should have so much in resources that anything God calls this church to do, y'all've got the resources to do it with ease. You want blood or wine? You want the law or do you want grace? In India, they have a caste system, right? If you're born poor, you're poor. That's what you're supposed to be in this lifetime. And if you're a good steward over poor, maybe you'll get to be more in the next lifetime. And we laugh at that, how silly that is. We've got a caste system in America. The poor stay poor, the middle class stay middle class, the rich stay rich. Why? Because it's not in America, it's here. and it's in our churches. We're running from the devil. We're afraid of sickness and disease. We're afraid of lack. And it's time for some Houdinis to rise up and kick the door open and come out into this realm called no limits. Come on, that's the two words I came here for this morning. No limits. Are you ready?
Amen.
Do you want those words to define you? Do y'all want those words to define this church? No limits. Right? No limits. No limits. Be honest with me for a second. I've done this twice. It's a Kairos moment. How many of you, when you look at God's blessing in your life, when you look at your finances, when you look at your resources, when you look at what you have to take care of your family and what you have to take care of the kingdom, how many of you feel like you're stuck, you're on a plateau, and you can't see how more can come so you can do more for the kingdom? Does anybody feel that way? You notice my hands up? I feel like in those areas that our ministry is kind of plateaued a little bit this year. And there's so much more I want to do around the world. But in order to do more, you've got to have more. What is the devil the problem? No. Is God the problem? No, it's, where is it? Well, how many of you feel like Laura and I feel? Come on, stand to your feet. Everybody stand to your feet. No limits. No limits. No limits. No limits. No limits. Yeah, you just be able to get to play that guitar. No limits. They capture a little elephant. Capture a little elephant. Capture a little elephant. They put a steel chain on his foot. And then they take the stake and they put it 3-4 feet down in the ground. And the little elephant, he pulls and 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 he pulls. And he's trying to break the chain. And he's trying to break the chain. And he's trying to break the chain. But eventually something breaks. It ain't the chain. It's the heart of that elephant. And then when that happens, they take the chain off. They put a rope around the elephant's foot. Now you got this 1-ton, 2-ton, you got this huge animal that's being held in place by a rope hooked to a stake that's 3-4 feet in the 2 foot in the ground. How many believers in our churches are that elephant that's being held back by a rope? How many believers, how many churches are Harry Houdini in an unlocked cell and all they've got to do is walk up to the door and kick that sucker open and move out into this realm called, what is it again? No limits. This is not going to be a plateau church. This ain't going to be an Otis church. This isn't going to be a jail cell church. We're breaking out into this realm called no limits. How many of you want that as a church? How many of you want that in your own life? This is what I want to do. Can we move this? AJ, come up here and grab this. Right there, then. Yeah, that's all right. Thank you, bud. Move that over here. I want us to worship. And as we worship, I want you to see yourself kicking that door open. I want you to see yourself as that elephant. Come on. breaking free and going on a rampage. I want to see you. I want you to see yourself breaking free. And Laura and I, we're gonna come around and we're gonna lay hands on you and we're gonna say two words. It's gonna be a point of contact. It's gonna be a Kairos moment. We're gonna lay hands on you and we're gonna declare no limits. And something, there's going to be an impartation into your spirit. There's going to be a greater grace. There's going to be a fresh anointing. You may feel something, you may not feel something. You're going to reach out with your faith and you're going to grab hold of those words and you're going to walk out of this church today more focused than you've ever been in your life, of living a life of no limits. Come on up to the altar. Come on up. Stand anywhere you want to stand. Come on up. Come up here fearless. Thank you, Father. Come on, just lift your hands and begin to worship.
No limits. No limits. No limits. No limits. No limits.
Go ahead, kick that door open and walk out. Kick that door open and walk out. Kick that door open and walk out. None. No, no, no. Come on, run at those dogs. Run at those dogs. Make them blink. No limits in the name of Jesus. No limits. No limits.
Thank you,
none.
Jesus. Thank you.
No, none.
Thank you, Lord.
None.
Thank you, Jesus.
Completely free.
Thank you, Lord.
No limits.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name
thank
of
you.
Jesus. Father, thank you for this man of God.
Thank you,
no limits. No limits to who you've called him to be, what you've called him to do, where you've called him to go. Ooh, no limits. Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. None. Dream bigger. Dream bigger. Dream bigger. Go big. Go big. Go big. Go big. No, there's no limits. There's no limits. No limits to what you can do in
Christ.
Thank
you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
No limits. No limits. No limits. Thank you, Father.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor, come up here.
Hallelujah.
Pastor. Pastor, I want you to gather around. Pastor represents this church. Satan would like nothing more than to keep this church on a plateau for decades. No. Come on. Will you let heaven put a no in you? No. 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 It's not about competition. It's not about, we're not in competition with other churches. We just want to do more to build the kingdom. We want to grow in our influence, grow in the impact. Come on, we're already a stone in the ocean. We want to be a boulder in the ocean. We want to be a glacier in the ocean. We want to be a mountain in the ocean. We just want to make bigger waves throughout the world. No plateaus. No jail cells. This is not an Otis church. This is not a Harry Houdini crying in a jail cell church. This is not an elephant being held down by a rope church. This church has been given power and authority over the devil. This church has been given power and authority over all sickness and disease. This church has been given power and authority to step into grace, all grace, and have everything it needs to do everything this church has been called to do. This church, it's wine time. It's time for abundance. Do everything from a place of strength. A church that serves El Shaddai, they got it more than enough. And so we say in this Kairos moment, we declare, as we lay hands on Pastor, we declare over the church in the DNA, in the spirit, in the heart, in the preaching, in the revelation, in the children, in the youth, in the praise and worship, we declare no limits ever. Ever. This church will always be appreciative for everything God has done, but at the same time, more. Increase. No limits. Thank you, Father. Ooh, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Does someone have something to declare? Somebody got something that they just want to pray out or declare out?
More devil.
Go ahead. More devil. Come on, get that in. Say it like you mean it. More devil. Come on, you know that look. I can do it. Can you do the poor devil? Poor. Poor devil in Alva. Poor devil in this area. Poor devil. Anybody got something else? Come on.
No limits.
No limits. No. No fear.
No
fear. Thank you for speaking that out. No. No sickness. No disease. Oh, some other pastor talks about how Satan walked in and they begin to plead the blood of Jesus. And all you guys say, hey, next time he shows up, send him here. No poverty. Everything we need to do everything God's called us to do.
Unlimited resources.
Moses came down off that mountain free. Came down off the mountain free. You're leaving this church free.
Amen. That's right. Free.
There is no difference between Moses coming down off that mountain and you walking out of this church.
Yes.
We go out to send a message. Let my people
go.
So are you getting this? There's no difference between Moses, Jesus, and you. You're all connected prophetically. Hallelujah. Come on, Pastor Ty Bowen.
Praise God. The rivers are flowing. The rivers of his voice. Even that last